Good morning. Good morning. It's a little gray out there, a little cold out there, but it's almost Thanksgiving. Good morning. It's Tuesday, and we're joined by the mayor. A little shock to the system. The mayor will be, Mayor, why are you here today?
Oh, that's a great question, Chris.
Who am I? Why am I here?
Why am I here? I'm here today because I'm traveling tomorrow. What I usually do is we go down to my wife Ann's family's place in or father's place in Long Island, and so I'm leaving a little bit early this year. But we've got everything squared away for tomorrow. I think we're in good shape, and you know it's not that far. If there's something happens, I can come back quickly. So it's only like 3.5 hours away. So that's it. So that's what we do for Thanksgiving. That's my story. I go down there and I just hang out. Pretty much it.
That's good.
Watch football games.
Get your brother-in-law.
So she's one of six kids, and so everybody's the siblings have families, and so we all talk, and it gets interesting, as it does. A lot of people can relate to this these days, but you know the political discussions at the dinner, at the Thanksgiving dinner table are more animated in recent years than they were before. Yeah, it's funny. Both extremes are represented at the table. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's good, right?
I don't even jump in. Everybody wants to know what is the mayor thing,
right?
No, I'm just happy listening to watching the fight.
Yes, stay out of it, right?
Right.
Stay out of the scrum. Mayor, you've had a pretty big week. I saw all over the news, actually, your police department under the new chief cracking down on mopeds, little mini bikes, all that stuff. It makes life very difficult for people in the city. Talk about that.
Well, we've had a number of callers on this show, and talk about it, and it comes up from time to time, and it's a real public nuisance, and we all see it that way. It's been difficult to catch people doing it, and so, but we had. The chief had made a real concerted effort to track down some of them, and they were able to round up a few and seize the bikes. We're going to continue to do that because it bothers people.
Yes,
they have unregistered vehicles driving around, doing dangerous things, harassing people, making a lot of noise at all hours of the day. Nobody wants that, and so we're going to continue with it. I think we'd be greatly having the chief and I talked about this last week. There needs to be a change in state law.
Yes.
State law in Massachusetts doesn't allow police chiefs and city governments to do what they do in other states, including Rhode Island and Connecticut, where the chief is from, which is to seize the bikes and to destroy them. That's what we want to do because that sends the message. My dream is a change in state law, and then we line all these up, and then we have like Sketty drive a steamroller over them.
Yes.
Or you know, a plunger, like just like Wile E. Coyote, but blow them up or something like that. That's my dream, to have that enshrined in state law.
We've got five
like that.
But reps
all kidding,
in the Senate.
All kidding aside, that has to change, and we're looking at language and state law in Rhode Island and Connecticut and other states to see if that can be moved. But our hands are somewhat tied in the city to destroy them because we have to, once seized, if someone has title or they can show a receipt for it or some other evidence of ownership, we've got to get it back to them ultimately. And that's not good.
No, that's not good.
Don't go right back out and do the same thing again.
Yeah. And these days, I mean, look, I got caught doing it when I was a kid.
You started this trend. Is that what you're saying?
A little bit. Mid-80s.
It wasn't for you.
I was 15, me and John Garino. We got caught, but I had to go to court. I mean, my dad wanted to kill me. We were riding him on the street. There's no reason to do that out in Freetown. And but there was, you know, I wouldn't say I got away with it. I had to go to court and everything else. But there was the penalty of losing my license. Plus, like, I had parents who were angry with me about it. But what's amazing to me, Mayor, and this is probably amazing to you, how old a lot of these people are.
Yeah, a lot of them are in their 20s, right?
So 30s even.
Yeah. We've found that.
Yes.
That is true. And not all of them. There's some younger ones.
Sure.
And you can chalk some of it up to bad parenting, but it's not quite that simple. There's some older, they're all young men, but beyond childhood age, beyond minority age,
right.
that are out there doing this stuff.
Yes.
And so, you know, part of the message here is, hey, listen, if you don't grow up, you know, we're gonna steamroll your bikes. I'd like to be able to do that.
And it just takes a change in state law.
Yeah, it would make things. And so you've seen this. So we've had the mayors of Providence have been able to do exactly as I've described. Not necessarily the steamroll, but other ways of destroying the bikes. And Chief Thody, when he was in Connecticut, his mayor, Luke Bronin, who's a friend of mine, he did the same thing. So I'd like to be able to do that. But it's going to require a change in state law.
I would think, as I'm just in my head thinking of the state reps we have that represent the city, I would think most of them have a sane feeling about this. I don't know, though.
I would think so.
I would hope so, right?
Yeah, but there's something's got to change because it really detracts from the quality of life in certain neighborhoods.
And it's dangerous.
You're sitting out there on your porch and someone's tearing through the neighborhood and carrying on and police having to chase them but are limited in their ability to catch them.
Because you don't know if it in some cases makes it worse when the police are chasing them. I understand.
Yeah, you don't
that.
Want to drive a police cruiser into a yard or a park or something. You'd make matters worse. You put others in peril as a result.
Yeah, maybe just a light tap of the back tire with a cruiser.
Well, I know it's all very tempting, right?
You
see them driving down the street and you think, geez, you know.
I think in the old days they used to do that, Mayor.
Well, yeah, we're not encouraging that, right? It's going to be on the other end of a lawsuit, right? But we'd like to be able to catch them and deal with it. But once that, if we're able to destroy some of the bikes, I think that'll send the right kind of message. But that's something that we would love to work on with our state delegation.
Mayor, the Inspector General's report on the waterfront, We'll talk about that. What did they miss,
Mayor? They missed a lot, Chris. And so the bottom, what people need to know is they looked into the management, purported to look into the management of the Pope's Island Marina. The Pope's Island Marina, as people know, is a recreational marina. It's right on Pope's Island. And some people think that's in Fairhaven. It's not. That's part of New Bedford. It's where the playground is Team Noah built a few years ago. So there's a lot of people in the city might not know it because most of the people who use the marina, specifically 93% of them, are not New Bedford residents. Only 7% are New Bedford residents. So it generates income for the New Bedford Port Authority to put back into the port. The New Bedford Port Authority doesn't own the docks. They're owned by the State Department of Conservation and Recreation, otherwise known as DCR. And 30 years ago, the DCR entered into a lease with the New Bedford Port Authority, then called the Harbor Development Commission, to operate it. And so to keep things simple enough, in exchange for operating the docks, whole marina, the state got a cut of the revenue from the dockage fees, and the Port Authority kept the rest, but it was all put back into the operation of the port.
Okay.
So and then circa 2006, under the last administration, the Port Authority entered into a memorandum of understanding with DCR to continue to operate in that fashion. That MOU, that agreement, has been renewed two or three times since then. The marina is well run. It's award winning. People love it. There's a waiting list for it.
Right.
And the Port Authority paid all of its bills, paid everything. The State Inspector General was alerted to the fact that there wasn't a lease. Instead, it was just a MOU, which
was
functionally no different.
Right,
and asked for documents. It asked for receipts, basically, from the year 1992 to the present. And the Port Authority couldn't produce, of course, all the receipts before about 10 years ago or so. And so it said, well, we can't, so they concluded in the report, well, we can't account for it. And so my answer is there's no reference to state record retention laws, which say that once your books are audited, you don't have to keep the
exactly.
bills. Like who keeps 20-year-old grocery
bills? It's ridiculous.
It's like saying, like, you should have kept your grocery bills from 20 years ago.
Right.
Oh, shucks. Well, how do we know you didn't shoplift at the grocery store?
Right.
So we're going to have a response to that.
Okay.
I think there were some problems with DCR. There's no problems with the New Bedford Port Authority.
There's certainly problems with DCR.
Yeah.
Multiple administrations.
Right. And that's right. But the New Bedford Port Authority squared away, and this Office of Inspector General did an amateurish investigation. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to financial
right.
investigations. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. This thing would have been thrown out of court in a heartbeat.
Right.
And we're going to show why. And so I would just ask people to stay tuned on this. I'll have a lot more to say about it because we'll lay it all out. But just understand, people who are listening to this would be like, geez, I don't know what to make of this. Well, let me just say
sure,
this.
Sure, go ahead.
They did what purported to be a financial investigation. They did not interview anybody from the New Bedford Port Authority.
I see that. Crazy.
They didn't ask for the annual audits at all. They didn't, as far as we know, do a site visit to look at this thing.
Sure.
They didn't look at the New Bedford Port Authority's budget. They didn't. They didn't do the very basics that anybody would do a
right.
financial investigation. And so, it just causes you to wonder, like, what's going on here?
Exactly.
But we will lay all of this stuff out because it's not. We received this report at the same time they sent out a press release that said something like the public's been shortchanged, like. So we're not gonna take all this lying down,
right?
And so I would just say, what's disappointing is that you have an organization agency called the Massachusetts Office of Inspector General. So it has, you know, the presumption of official authority,
yes.
right? And then some regularity of that. Let's say what they're doing is all upstanding. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen a financial something that purported to be a financial
right.
investigation that was as thin as this, as misleading as this is ever in my career. So more to come. We're going to have a lot more to say about this, Chris. And I'll tell you what, you know, the reality is, like, someone might say, well, I'll say this. I don't
okay.
want to speculate about anything, but I will say this, that they would do this. They started this thing 2 years ago.
Okay.
And the only thing that we got from them was that document request 2 years ago. We didn't hear from them.
Okay.
And so it just causes me to wonder, like, there's something else going on here. I don't. And I have theories, and I'm not going to
sure.
sort of openly speculate about
too.
That. But people will see what's going on. I know you will read it
yes.
word for word.
Yes, absolutely.
I can't wait for the response.
Once
we do that, and that'll be in the first half of December, I'd be happy to go through it with you.
Great. I'm looking forward to it, Mayor, because when I saw in reading the different parts of this, the story WBSM, New Bedford Light, when I saw that Gordon Carr had not been interviewed, the head of the Port Authority.
No, nor any of his employees.
I mean, just ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, how do you do an investigation? Like, think about that. Like, the reporters at the newspapers wouldn't just, nobody here at WBN would just look at a better set of
no.
receipts and say, here's, well, we can't account for what happened without talking to anybody.
Of course.
Go talk to somebody.
Right.
So we're going to deal with that. But, yeah, I mean, you know me. I'm not. I think a lot of for what's one of the things that's frustrated me over as a private citizen from here over the years is that we sometimes are inclined to just sort of accept sort of pronouncements from
yes.
Boston about
yeah.
our area. You know me. I'm
right.
not afraid to punch back.
Right, you got
to. So this is one of those occasions where we will We will emphatically punch back, Chris.
I'm looking forward to seeing the punches, Mayor. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back. If you want to speak with the mayor of New Bedford, he's here. It's not Wednesday, it's Tuesday, just in case you're wondering why the mayor's here. He's traveling tomorrow, as many of you are going to be. Stick around. We're going to take a very brief, looks like a two-minute break. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back. That's Little Van Halen off the mayor's playlist. The mayor of New Bedford is here today. Normally here on Wednesdays, but he's here on a Tuesday. Mayor, how'd you select that song? I love it, but how'd you select it?
You know, it just came to me, Chris. I just thought it up.
Let's dance the night away. We're coming into the festive season, right?
You know, there's no hidden message there. It's a good song.
It's a good song. By a great band.
I'm trying to remember who did it before Van Halen. Was it
the Kinks?
Maybe. No.
Was it Dance the Night Away?
Someone's got to call and tell me.
Yeah.
We can Google it, but what fun is that?
It's funny.
Somebody should just call up and say, oh, here's the answer.
You probably tell your daughters this. You know, kids, there was a time when you had to literally ask everybody you knew.
People.
What did it mean? What does that mean? Yeah. What does that mean? Sometimes you become in an awkward situation. Like, I'd ask my dad, what does that mean? He'd go, why do you want to know? Then I would find out, must be something I don't need to know about. Mayor, the city of New Bedford, it's coming into the holiday season. When do the decorations go up?
They're already up, Chris. You gotta get out of the house.
No, I do have to get out of the house. When do they do a Cushion Avenue?
That's coming up. They're up downtown.
So we do
decorations on the Ave. We do them in the south end as well. So it takes a little while for DPI to put all that stuff up. But they should all be up by now. They started a good week or so ago. The Christmas tree's up.
Yes, I saw that.
You saw that.
Yes.
Posted that. I want to thank the Brayton family in the south end. They said they had a really beautiful tree in their yard, and I guess they wanted to part with it. I don't know if they wanted it, but for whatever reason, or they just the kindness of the heart said that tree belongs in front of the library as the city's Christmas tree. So it's there. It's beautiful.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. We had. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah. So DPI went over there and they actually lifted it, and I think they had Eversource's help. They actually had to cut the tree off and sort of suspend it. Actually, it was laying down the lawn, and they picked it up and pulled it over the utility lines,
yes,
and then placed it on a flatbed, which is kind of cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and they did it without incident.
And you're offering free parking. That was where I was going with this. Yeah.
So downtown parking is free in the parking garages. If you get a ticket on the street, you can get an absolution, a dispensation. If you bring that ticket in. But you got to have a receipt that you bought something. So yeah, Carter's Clothing.
Go
buy a hat in Carter's Clothing if you want to unload that ticket.
Get rid of that ticket.
Yep.
The city of New Bedford, everything looks great when the season gets going. Right, people are down there. It really is a beautiful time of year. I like this time of year.
I got to tell you though, there's some places that. Just starting on the Christmas stuff really early. I mean, So I was waiting for a flight at Green Airport a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, are they playing Christmas music? It's like, we just got done with Halloween.
I looked on your list to see if there was a Christmas song.
No, not yet. We're going to wait on that.
But I mean, I like Christmas music. I like as it sort of
everybody
filters
does,
into
but
it.
If you hear it for like 8 weeks straight.
Right. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's like
I like when it filters in, kind of. You know, like every other
build
or something.
To the point,
right? Build. Yeah. That's it. Build to the point. We get some people on hold, sure. Mayor. 508-996-0500 So you can get on the program. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving,
Mr. Mayor.
Happy
Thanksgiving. And Chris.
Hello.
Thank you. I have just 2 points I want to make. So we were talking about the motorcycles. The tow truck drivers can't work for Jesus. So if we're going to tow a scooter or a motorcycle, we got to get paid too. I can bring it to City Yard and you guys can crush it. Just give me something when I get there.
Yeah.
And then my other
But you guys have to release it though, right? If someone shows up, you have to release it. If someone says, here's my title, you got to unload it, right?
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I said you guys are required to release the bike if someone shows up with the title.
Yeah, the cops call us and we go get the bike and then we require them to either bring a title or a registration before we can give it back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. So the change in the law might allow us to keep it and destroy it.
To crush them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's fine with me. My other question is, if a 3-tenement, like the top floor burns down, they don't rebuild the top floor. Like, how come we don't build 3-deckers anymore? I'd like to know how come they don't get repaired. Because every time that happens, that's an apartment that just poof, goes away.
What do you mean? So if the third floor is destroyed, it's really.
Yeah, there was one right near the Wash World that down the south end, the top floor had cotton on fire, and now it's just a 2-family. So it's like, I guess in the ordinance, they can't build that high anymore?
No, that's not true. So there is an ordinance that would makes it hard for people to rebuild on an empty lot. But in that instance that you, and I could describe that in a second, what you're describing is something a little bit different. If you have a fire that destroys the third floor, I mean, it's really a question whether the landlord wants to either A, spend the money to rebuild it, or B, whether there's insurance coverage that could pay for it, right? That's the only thing. And so if someone doesn't have sufficient insurance or doesn't want to make a claim for whatever reason, when we have fires and 3-deckers, it's normally people rebuild. So what I was referring to before is There is one impediment to building 3-deckers around the city. So you see empty lots between in some of the 3-decker neighborhoods. And the problem is that we have on the books a minimum lot size for building any house. And those lots, the lots you see that are empty and like the missing teeth, as it were, in a lot of the 3-decker neighborhoods are too small to satisfy that part of the city code. So that's why you see a lot of those vacant lots remain in place. So what we have right now in front of the city council is a provision that would shrink the minimum lot size. So you could actually build a 3-decker in a lot of those empty lots.
I think that would help the city a great deal.
Yeah. So that's in front of the city council. I think they'll be taking it up. I probably in the new year.
Yeah, you do have that news.
Actually, they took it up. They did take it up a couple weeks ago, but they haven't made a final determination on it. But that's I think shrinking the minimum lot size in that neighborhood will allow for the filling in of a lot of empty lots.
And that's part of this new zoning package that you put
it
forward.
Is. Yeah.
On the chief of police, any idea what they're going to do? City Council. Now they got a hearing coming up in December.
Appointments and briefings. But
positive stuff, right?
Yeah. 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 Nothing but positive stuff. Yeah. And it's for good reason. He's doing a good job.
Yeah. And they've been acting like he's the chief anyway, because he is the chief.
Yeah, in my view, yeah. I mean I didn't so we I sought to compromise with the City Council to avoid what could be a long litigation and at the expense of taxpayers, but it didn't change my legal position. I still think that the code says what it says, which is that the chief is not subject to confirmation. Yeah. But
so does your predecessor, as you know.
So then the chief was the chief doesn't personally doesn't care. And if he wants this, if the city council wants him confirmed, he'll go in front of them and say, answer their questions. So it's not really, that's neither here nor there for him. It was more my point. We're doing what the code said, following the code and following what following the precedent that had been established, not by me, but by mayors that came before me.
Yeah. Yeah, I never thought that the chief of police needed the confirmation of the city council. So it is, it's got the appointments and briefings hearing in December. And then if it gets approved, and I think it will, we hope it will, it'll be December 11th, according to the
text. I think it's the appointments briefings and maybe the 9th or the 11th or the 11th or the 30th. I think it's the 9th and then the 11th with the full council. I forget what the exact dates. Yeah.
508-996-0500. We have other people on hold who want to speak with the mayor. Again, it's Tuesday. The mayor is here because he won't be in town tomorrow. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. Hello. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Thank you. Same to you.
Getting back to the triple-decker question I just heard, I think part of the problem is the fact that triple-deckers back in the day were built as what was called balloon framing. That's not done anymore, so... Yep. To be able to do conventional framing on blue framing, it's not going to hold. It'll fall like a deck of cards. But
you're right about that. And the balloon framing also presents a fire risk as well, as we've seen.
There's no fire blocking, fire stops. It's wide open, all the walls. But getting back to your solution, I was thinking about something simpler. Why can't it be that the owner of the property just demonstrates that the building where it sat on the lot and all the setbacks, you just allow them to put it back in the same location instead of playing around with lot sizes and all that. I mean, this way you don't have to go to the Board of Appeals or any of that stuff. As long as they can demonstrate to the city, i.e. the building department and or the planning board, that, look, I'm putting it back in the same location. Here's the old site plan. This is where it's going to go. And life moves on. Wouldn't that kind of move the process a little quicker?
You mean if after a fire, it's sort of say if it burns down and it's got to be raised rebuilding in the same footprint. So you can do that. But what happens is after a period of time, and I think it's 2 years, I may be wrong about that, then the new the existing code applies, and you have to abide by the setback rules, the minimum lot size rules, and all that. So you could do exactly what you're saying. But after a passage of time, then you're effectively not grandfathered out anymore.
Okay,
that's my understanding of the law.
All right. Well, that was my question because I think it's fair. You give the owner 2 years, but if they can also demonstrate to the city that they're going through the process, they should be able to get some type of extension because, you know, nowadays, you know, how banks work and all that, you know, you may not necessarily get that loan next week. You know, you could be talking 6-8 months down the road. And then by the time you come up with plans and all,
it sounds like, as you know, there is an outlet, which is if you can't, in that scenario, if you couldn't build within that 2-year window, you could seek relief from the Zoning Board of Appeals.
Mm-hmm. True. I'm just trying to figure out ways to expedite the matter because, as you're probably aware of, there's a lot of talk on the radio every now and then. People complain about it's hard to get building permits. I'm not throwing anything on the building department. I want to be clear about that. But I'm just looking at ways to try to expedite the matter that would satisfy both the owner of the property as well as the city. That's it. That's my 2 cents.
Yep. No, makes sense.
Hey, thanks for the call. Thank
everybody
you for the call,
have a
my
great
friend.
Holiday.
You too. Thank you very much. 508-996-0500. We got other people on hold here. Good morning. You're on the air with the mayor.
Can't expose a leader and not expose the debt that's fraudulent.
Hello, you're on the air.
I guess they were on the air.
They were on the air. You can call back if you'd like at 508-996-0. Mayor, have you started shopping yet? My guess is you have not.
Absolutely not, Chris.
Well, you know, Mayor, you know about it. It's been there for 78 years. We've always counted on him. We can count on him again. Carter's Clothing has been the South Coast's one-stop shop for clothing and footwear. And this Christmas, they're making gift-giving even easier. Carter's has the best prices on top name brands like Carhartt, Timberland, Chippewa, New Balance, and many, many more. You got to go in and see it all. Find something for everyone with over 75 styles of boots, cozy flannels, hoodies, and jackets and vests. Perfect for the winter. Free parking is available at both locations, downtown New Bedford and Fall River. Gift cards are available in any denomination. Shop small, shop local this Christmas with Carter's Clothing. Visit us at cartersma.com. We're going to take a break and then we'll be back. More with the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Our family can disconnect, to let go of the busy everyday, and it's amazing that this allows us to come together and really connect as a
welcome
family.
Back to the program. Absolutely. That break was a lot shorter than I thought it was going to be, and the mayor's list is up now. Little Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Just the way I like it. Fried turkey.
The mayor's playlist. So, Mayor, what? You had a busy morning. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I did a couple of things. So, I stopped in at a roll call at the South End Police Station and just thank the officers for working hard and working through the holiday. They don't take Thanksgiving off. I mean, not everybody's on in Thanksgiving, but of course. As it should be, the city, and like every city, is policed during the holidays. But those are officers who have their own families and are away from them during the holidays. So I want to express my appreciation for that. I also stopped in at Pace this morning at the food pantry on Park Street at the former Andrews Dayhill VFW post that was converted into a really terrific modern food pantry. We invested in that maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, and it works really well. But of course, there were too many people who needed it this morning.
Right.
It opened at 10 this morning, and there were people sitting out front as early as 8 o'clock. And when I walked up, there was a long. They had to have been. Geez, I don't know, 30 or 40 people online.
Really?
And it just keeps going. They handed out 900 turkeys.
Wow.
900 meals with turkeys yesterday, and then there'll probably be more today. So I went over there, and I handed out turkeys and all that, right? But I think there's a lot of need out there, but what I wanted to report back to everybody on the air is that in the last month when SNAP benefits, right, food stamp benefits were threatened, a whole lot of people stepped up. They had a surge in donations, a surge in volunteers, and I just think that's great.
I agree.
And this is true. I'm hearing similar things from some of the other food pantries, but the Pace, which is one maybe the largest one in the city, that was huge. And so I want to thank everybody who stepped up in the last month or so and is doing it through the holidays, because it really does make a difference. And guess what? It can actually be kind of fun. We're talking off the air. You have fun doing it. If you're handing out stuff, it's very social. Everybody's happy to get a meal.
That's right.
There are no sourpusses. Nobody's going to complain. It's like people are happy to be fed, of course, and especially people who really need it.
Right.
If you have the time, if you have things to donate, if you can stroke a check, that's great too. But it's all welcome, because it's all there are a whole lot of people who could use it.
Mayor, did you get a chance to see the President of the United States meeting with your counterpart, the mayor of New York City, the mayor-elect?
I saw the news reports. I didn't see the clips of it.
What do you think of, say, Mandani's style, his purported style? You know, he hasn't done anything yet, really, other than get elected. But that's not really your branch of the Democrat Party, I don't think.
No. I like this. A lot of stuff I I wouldn't agree with him on. I think he's really talented as,
yes,
as a campaigner, and just it's so I like he ran against two very, very flawed candidates, mm-hmm, three very flawed candidates.
Right.
So it was sort of a peculiar circumstance, that election in New York, set of circumstances that led to his victory. But some of it was just the sheer fact that he knew how to engage people on, mm-hmm, social media and stayed on message. And he's very, very good on the stump. I can't imagine that he's going to be able to implement some of the things that he is he campaigned on. But yeah, look, it's the most prominent city, arguably, in the world.
Yes.
And so how New York goes matters a lot.
Yes,
New York's going to function well. So we'll see how it goes. I'm not sure that approach is the right one. Not the approach I would take in my city. But I hope, I like with everybody else, I hope he does his job well. And I say that about the president as well. I think it's just important that they whether you agree with any particular office holder or not, you want them for the good, for the public good, to do well by the public.
Totally. With that in mind, we had the recount in the city of New Bedford. It settled the way we thought it would on the original victor, Scott Pemberton.
Ward 2.
So he'll be seated in January. And then, of course, you've got James Roy, who's coming in as well. That's interesting, right? 20% of the city council has now changed over.
Yeah. Look, it's I think that both of them really jumped into the race and ran good campaigns. And, you know, as I've told both of them, I said, whatever you need from us in the way of information or insight or whatever, we'd be happy to supply it to you. Like they're getting in to the job. They, like anybody who starts a new job, you've got stuff to learn.
Yes.
And so, look, I think both of them come at it with open minds, and which is appropriate. And I think they'll add new perspectives to the council, which, mm-hmm, I think will be good for the council as well.
We have the mayor of New Bedford here in the studio on a Tuesday because he's traveling for the holidays tomorrow, so he won't be here. You're looking at all at the governor's race. We've had a number of the candidates through here. That's getting interesting.
I haven't had a chance to listen to any of those interviews with any of them. You've had all the Republicans.
All the Republicans, yeah. I'd love to have the governor. Yeah. I voted for her. Yeah. I'd love to have her come in or at least call us on the phone. I think Tim talked with their office.
I thought you guys had a rule that everybody had to show up.
I do.
Yeah.
But I don't make rules for the governor, mayor. I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean, I know my place, right?
Nah.
I can ask. Like I said, I voted for her because I didn't think it was any contest between her and Jeff Deal. I thought she would be able to attract the most qualified people to staff out her administration. Let's face it, chief executives don't do anything really other than staff it up, right, and make decisions. And I thought she would be the best.
I'm a chief executive.
I know. But you know what I'm saying.
You're not out there. Potted plant.
No, you're not out there plowing the roads. Right?
I'm just watching the soaps all afternoon.
That may be true, Mayor. No, but you know, you get it. You got to hire people, manage people, and make policy. And I thought she could do that better than Jeff Deal. And you know, I've really been pretty disappointed with her. Maybe you haven't. But we got some people on hold, Mayor.
Okay.
But by the way, the Mike Minogue, West Point graduate, had a huge turnout at the country club the other night, the Sheriff Hodgson, all of that. I know you're a Democrat, but really interesting field taking place on the Republican side.
Yeah, I don't, I should say, I know Mike Keneally. He used to be the Secretary of Economic Development. I don't know the other two candidates. You know, I think they're all accomplished people in different ways in their lives, I don't think anybody should be surprised. I support Governor Healey. Mm-hmm. I've worked very closely with her, and I think she's supporting some really important stuff in our city. And I've known her for an awfully long time.
Yeah.
And I think there are things that, you know, I would change about the way state government, not just the administration, but the legislature, the way that all works. But, mm-hmm, But by and large, you know, I think she's been good for New Bedford, and I can tell you things like, for instance, obviously the rail project, she got over the goal line, a number of pier projects that we're working on, like the construction you see over at Leonard's Wharf right now.
Right.
She committed to that. She committed to things like Homer's Wharf. We've got a pending federal application there. The state stepped up with $18 million. She did for that just because, you know, I asked for it and made the case. And so she certainly listens to, I think, to the things that I've asked. So projects like that, some of the road projects, advancing the viaduct project.
Yep.
These are big things. I spent a lot of my time, Chris, trying to move infrastructure projects along.
Sure.
And they don't move along unless they have the support of the governor.
Right.
That's
right.
Just the reality. So yes. You see a lot of stuff getting built in New Bedford. It's because we plan, we make our case very effectively, but we also have a good partnership with whoever's in the corner office up in Boston. And this is true also for the last administration as well. But we've been able to advance a lot of big stuff because of our approach and because we've had somebody that wanted to work with us up there.
508-996-0500. Mayor, we got some people on hold who want to speak with you. Good morning. You're on with Mayor Mitchell.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
Not bad. How are you doing?
Hey, Mayor Mitchell, let me ask you, do you have any use or could you use a recliner?
I don't know. Chris thinks I do. If I could just kick back and during the day.
Watch the soaps.
No, on a serious note.
Why are you going over resumes?
And listen, first off, let me start off with a positive. Department of Facilities and Fleet Management, every time I reach out to them, they've been super helpful, friendly, informative, all of that. So shout out to them. But on another note, and again, it's a topic that I think I brought up a while ago when I was bringing up the transfer station and the rising costs and the concern that there may be illegal dumping going on. And now it's affecting me directly, literally on a weekly basis. It seems like, you know, it's the go-to location because everything that gets dropped off gets disposed of. And, you know, I don't mind doing my part. I really don't. Like, I just feel as if it's there, just take care of it and get rid of it, so on and so forth. However, it's starting to get costly. The minimums at the transfer station are like over $200 for like a single item. And not only that, but the transfer station, I believe even today, is closed. So to find an opportunity to load it up in your truck and get down there, wait in the line, so on and so forth, is a huge task. So that being said, you know, other than disposing of myself, like, what options are there for the residential homeowners? And not only residential, you have the option to do a bulk item pickup. Like, you know, you might have to deal with it for a little bit, but eventually it'll get picked up. If you're a commercial or mixed use, you know, owner of a property, it's on you. And again, you have to bear the burden of that cost. So just looking for some suggestions or any insight that you could have or, you know, maybe a location.
I think you're right. It's
Thanks
not,
for the call.
It's not easy. It is, that stuff's getting more expensive, of course, and it's hard to sort of spread the cost onto taxpayers, right? The only thing I would say is that if you compare New Bedford and it's to other, especially towns and its trash services, what we offer, how much it costs, if we're not the cheapest, we're certainly closest
right.
to it.
Yes.
So if you lived elsewhere, you probably would be paying a lot more. We haven't price shopped that in a while. I know DFFM knows the lay of the land and which places are more expensive and so forth. But my general sense is that New Bedford is really accommodating in terms of the price it charges for bulky item pickup and similar services.
We take a break and we'll be back more with the mayor when we come back. Playlist here for Thanksgiving. Mayor, big football game tomorrow? Well, Thursday, rather.
Thursday, yeah. Lots of Thanksgiving games out there. Wish all the teams well. It's a memorable time. for everybody who's out there playing, and their parents, because Thanksgiving's a special tradition, and Thanksgiving football is a special tradition, especially in New England. And in the case of New Bedford and Durfee, it goes back to the 1890s. It's one of the oldest in the country. I think it's like the fourth or fifth oldest in the country. Yeah. So I wish all players, especially the seniors that close out their time in style by playing their best game, and hope every family who's out there gets to enjoy watching their son play. And look, here we are, Thanksgiving, Chris, and
yes,
it's about to. We're about to hear more Christmas music.
we are. But first, we'll have to hear a little Alice's Restaurant.
If you want to play that. That's not my thing.
No,
that's not going to be on the mayor's playlist. Let's put it that way.
That's funny. The you don't like the Guthrie? What is it? Woody Guthrie? Arlo? That's Arlo Guthrie.
I think it's Arlo.
It's Arlo Guthrie.
Yeah.
What time do you get out of here to head to New York?
I guess when my meetings are done, it will hit the road. I'll probably drive into the teeth of New York rush hour, but that's all right.
So you leave tonight?
Yeah, I'm gonna leave tonight. Yeah, yeah. Don't tell anybody.
No. Well, you just told everybody. So what time will you hit New York?
Yeah, I don't know. It all depends, Chris. I just head west.
You're the driver. Annie's in the car.
She'll be driving down tomorrow. She's up in Boston now. Yeah, so she'll be.
So you go solo.
Well, I'll have my dog with me.
Oh yeah, you got to have the dog. Hey, have a great Thanksgiving. I appreciate
your
good support.
You have a great Thanksgiving. Everybody who's listening, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving and just have an opportunity to kick back a little bit and just savor all the blessings each of us has.
Yes, no, I think that's a good way to put it, Mayor. We will have you stick around for Barry. Barry's coming up next, and I'll see you tomorrow, God willing. I'll be back tomorrow. Stick around for Barry.